Blog Talk Radio.
Use all of your courage in Jesus to overcome. Believe there is no circumstance that can defeat you in your purpose to accomplish anything in your life. You got to believe it though, brother.
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got to believe. Come on.
the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. Gallatin is spelled G-A-L-L-A-T-I-N. Again, our mailing address is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. That's spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straight Way Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, shalom, saints. Greetings and blessings to you all tonight. Let me know how I'm coming in, please. Hallelujah. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. See the tens. Thank you, Brother Josh, Sister Brittany, Sister Zona. Hallelujah. Thank you all, saints, for helping out with that. I greatly appreciate it. Hallelujah. Y'all's good. Hallelujah. Well, hey, saints, I do thank you all for giving your time tonight. Hallelujah. Appreciate you all being here for the broadcast. I'm your host, Deacon Bell. Hallelujah. Okay, I like all the tens I'm saying. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. We're still going to continue on with our discerning the enemy teaching that we've been doing. Hallelujah. I do appreciate you, my faithful co-host, Brother Josh. Thank you for your service, my brother. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Yah. Y'all good, saints. That good word from the man of Yah yesterday. Most I continues to feed us from the servant, our pastor. Hallelujah. Give us a good word. As always, being faithful to the call. And being selfless and giving. Feeding the sheep. At least the sheep that want to be fed, and not the goats. But y'all's good. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Zach, let's go to Brother Zach. Brother Josh, we're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 6. Again, just a reminder, chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. You know, that's where the enemy lies, saints. So it's not the brother or sister that you can see, that person that might get on your nerves, irritate your flesh. You know, the words tell us where the enemies are, where the enemies locate. But the one thing you don't see in there that is located, that enemy will be located in you. You know, it's easy to say, I can easily say it's in Sister Sakina or Brother Josh or Brother Vernon, just anybody, you know, I can name saints, you know. But how about when, you know, how about when that enemy, how about me discerning that enemy in me? You know, when it's me that's standing, and when I have to, you know, testify that it's me that's standing in need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me. You know, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, when Jesus read that, gave that parable of the two men in the temple praying, the one man said, hey, I thank you, Yah, that I'm not like the other men. You know, not as wicked as the guy over there, that brother over there, that sister over there. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not reading from it, saints, but, you know, but that man was a Pharisee, you know, so he thought himself so great. And the other man was a public. And that man, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. You know, he was bowed down. And he's saying, forgive me, Lord, a sinner. And what did Jesus say? Who do you think y'all hurt? Well, who left there justified? The Pharisee or the public? You know, the man that acknowledged his sin, that acknowledged he was wicked before the Most High, needed his help. You know, the one that needed a Savior. It's what Jesus said. I'm not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. You know, and what also did Jesus say? They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. Hallelujah. So let's remember that the Most High is merciful and he's just. And he sees and judges situations clearly and righteously. And so, you know, in talking about that, you know, I kind of just want to, you know, when you think about how the enemy moves, like, you know, that situation with the two men praying, the one man was full of pride. And what's the word say? Y'all resist the proud, we give grace to the humble. And how many times have we been raised up in our own pride against our brothers and sisters in any kind of situation? You know, we all live in this flesh. You know, the name of situations you've been in. Think about such altercation you had with a brother and sister where you were very prideful and you know, couldn't humble yourself or couldn't receive somebody because of an offense in your heart that you had towards them. And I can tell you, I've had those situations with myself, dealing with people, dealing with saints, dealing with brothers and sisters. Like, man, Father, the Holy Spirit, Father, beat my ass, let me know how wicked I am. Hey, said, you're going to change your attitude. You know, get down and pray. You know, just like, hey, what's wrong with your mindset? You know, all those good words you hear, why are you still all jacked up? You know, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I'm getting flapped around, getting my beat down. So you straighten your shit up. Well, he'll say it just like that, but, you know, he's dealing with it. I was like, man, Father, why? Don't you know what they did? You know, because it's easy, like, you know, it's easy to point the finger at the other person. You know, I got four boys at home. And, of course, the youngest one, you know, he's too young to have altercations with his brother right now. But the other three, boy, do they go at any given time, pointing the finger, you know. I always putting forth the finger about the other person. never telling on themselves what they do. Well, sometimes they will be honest. I'm not, so I don't want to paint the wrong picture. Sometimes they're honest about it, but most of the time they're not. They're going to always defend themselves. But one thing they do have on us adults, you know, in malice, like the word tells us to be children, after they're done having the altercations, they can go back. They can go back to each other and play, and it's all forgotten. But with us, adults, how many of us, as we get into it, you know, Pastor, that message on strife, envy, and strife, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. But how many of us, when we get into it after we're done, boy, who are we smoking hot for days? And the word tells us not to let the sun go down on our wrath, too. Many of us go to bed with all that wrath in us. That stuff that's built up. You sleep while you're sleeping, that stuff hardening your heart. It's a shameful thing for us to be that way, saints. You know, especially, as we say, we know what the word says, but we still find it hard to perform it. Like Paul said, I found myself a law. When I would do good, the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. We find that law more in this minute. But hallelujah, we can't get the victory. We can walk in victory, saints. But we have to make sure we're not giving place to the devil. Hallelujah. Well, Satan's always seeking to take advantage of us. Always. You know, because he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. In any situation, he can get us to give him an opening. You know, give him no place to the devil. And he's always looking for that place to give him. The only place he can take is the ones that we open the doors, the openings that we give him. You know, you look at yourself like a puzzle. You give him this one piece, the corner piece, he'll take it. You give him the other piece, the piece on the other side, or the top corner piece, he'll take that. He'll keep taking pieces until he got the whole puzzle. It's your the puzzle. He wants to take every piece that he can get. Till finally he got all of it. You know, he's not the folder you want to be playing around with. And anyway, we definitely need to be serious in our walk, saints. And our dealings, too. We do need to deal righteously with one another. Walk in love. And loving, not just love in word only, but in deed. You know, we need to be doing good to the household of faith. What's the word? They do good to all men, but especially to the household of faith. But yeah, and I know it might be easier to not want to do that or to withhold good, but the word commands us to do good to the household of faith. You know, that brother that gets on your nerves, that sister that just pisses you off every day, sisters. Like, damn, I want to do good to her. Do good to her. But, you know, she might not be so oppressive to you if you got right. You know, maybe you get the deliverance from the spirits of contention and all the different attitudes that you got, all the strife, the fears, the jealousies, the hatreds. And then maybe you find out she's not so oppressive. It is you. It was you who was oppressive. And now that you got the devil off of you, you can dwell in peace with your sister, with your brother. You actually can have the love of Yah towards them, like we should. You know, because your brother sins against you, how many times are you supposed to forgive? You know, hey, master, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? What Jesus said, I didn't say to you 7 times. You know, because I would tell you, sometimes some people I thought, if we had that number, hey, just if it gets you twice, you're done. That ain't what Jesus said, though. I'm telling you, some people I love to cut off in my immature. But then guess what? I get cut off. And hey, if you judge that way, you can be judged. But let's definitely make sure we got bowels of mercy, bowels of compassion to our brothers and our sisters. You know, one thing, when we deal with one another, we do have to remember that everyone's growing in the grace and knowledge of Yah. You may be at level two, level 10. That saint down at level two still needs you to love them. But what about the day when you shit on yourself? And that same one that you despise is there to help clean you up. They'll come love you like you didn't love them, showing you how to love, how to be mature. And they're still young in the Most High, whereas you've been in it for a while and you still hadn't mastered love. It ain't hard to love our brothers and sisters, but it is hard to crucify this flesh if you love it and just want to live in it. And when you're walking in it, it's not hard to crucify it at all. Well, I mean, crucifixion don't feel good, but you still go the opposite the way of the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, thanks, we do have Passover coming up soon, so we'll be all seeing each other, running together. For those of you staying on the land and for those of you that live around, you know, not too far from the community, the off-land saints, you'll still be coming in and partaking with the body. So it's always a good time for us to come together and grind with each other as we fellowship. And of course, you know, if those of you who fellowship on a weekly basis, you know how it is to be in the mix, be in the grind, perfecting love. I hope. What's the enemy want to do? He wants to, if he can get us not to love one another. But what's the scripture say? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, how much iniquity is working in you that you're not dealing with? That you won't love your brother, love your sister, but you're allowing it to use whatever situation, fault that you can come up with to hate, to be like Satan, be like Cain, who slew his brother. His own brothers, because his brother's works were good, but his was evil. So we definitely need to examine ourselves as we head to this Passover, you know, and see what's really working in us so we can get cleansed of. And the Most High will cast out of his kingdom all things that offend. You don't want anything that's going to offend him within you, especially that you know about. It's different when he hadn't showed you things. But the heart does know its own business. There's plenty of things to be working on, seeking the Most High on. You know, you ever find that uncomfortable feeling you have around some people, some saints? Like, yeah, I really just don't like being around that person. You ever think that saint might have that same feeling from you? You're like, well, you just don't know how they are. No, I don't know how they are, but they know how you are. And you know how you are. Is that right, sisters? Come on. That one sister just gets on your nerves. It's always like that sandpaper in your shoe, in your sock. Like, damn, I wish they'd leave me the hell alone. I wish they wouldn't even talk to them. But no, that's your sister. That Christ is in them. Jesus Christ is in them. And what Jesus says? Whatever you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And I'm going to tell you, saints, many a time I found myself, oh, Father, help me not to treat none of my brothers and sisters wrong or get right what I do wrong. Or holding grudges, holding offenses. You know, Father, help me. I said, Jesus, I don't want to be offended at nobody. If he shows me I got something working in me, I said, Father, help me get this right. Because I'm trying to, I want to dwell in peace with all men. As much as lies within me, not just making up shit just to be mad at somebody for nothing. You know, this little, because the brother left the light on in the garage when I was walking by. When he was walking by, and I was right behind him. When he walked by, and I was right behind him, he left it on, and I'm mad because I had to turn it off. Well, I mean, okay, he missed it. Yeah, I can say something to him, but okay. But after that, do I still got to have an attitude with him afterwards? Do I need to be hating him because he messed up? Well, he neglected to turn the light off? No, it shouldn't be that way. And I wouldn't like it if he did that to me. I mean, I wouldn't know it unless he told me. But he told me that he's holding the grudge, but he was mad at me for leaving the light on. But at the end of the day, we still have to forgive. I'm going to have to forgive him. He got to forgive me. It's a lot of love of Yah to dwell in us. Amongst us, we do need to have that. You know, it's about the atmosphere that we create, saints. You know, you want an atmosphere of love. You know, because you can't give what you don't have. If you don't have any love in you, don't look for it. I mean, the reason why I say that, because if we are, those of us who are truly born again, you know, you got Jesus in you now. What's the word today? You got Jesus in you. You've been born again. We love him because he first loved us. But you know, for us to, you know, I had a conversation with the brothers when we were working today. By the way, brothers, off land, you brothers from off land that don't live on the land, off land brothers out there that came to help us today. Thank you so much for your help today. You helped us get a lot done. We greatly appreciate your help. And your sisters as well. I don't want to leave y'all out either. So thank everybody for their labors and, you know, and coming to work today. Hallelujah. Making themselves available. They had a conversation with some brothers in the garden today. We was over there working, putting compost and manure in some of the raised beds. And one of the songs was playing, Brother Trey was singing. And something like, Yah, I love you. I love you, Yah. Something like that. I can't quote the lyrics now. And I said to the brothers, y'all hear that? They're looking at me like, that ain't love. I said, that ain't love. Him saying that ain't love. Well, that's not love. And they were looking at me, what do you mean? Then I said, well, Yah is love. And he said, and we love him because he first loved us. That's love. And when the psalmist is singing, he's singing his appreciation of love, reciprocating back the love to the Father who first loved him, so that way he knows how to love now, giving love back to the Most High. He's singing the praise, you know, because praise comes from the upright. It is, you know, you got an upright heart, you can praise. Because praise is coming for the upright. But if you ain't upright, you can't do that. Or you won't do that. And that's the bondage of the enemy, too, when you can't give glory to the Most High Yah. Remember the word says, let everything that have breath, praise Yah. So hallelujah. Well, anyway, but showing them that, you know, where love comes from, who is love, you know, you first got to acknowledge him. You know, because what Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So we can't love without him. So how is anybody going to learn how to love, able to manifest love, give love, unless you first receive it from the Most High? Because he loved us, died for us, sent his son to die for us, and then allow us to become partakers so that we can love the brethren, you know, his chosen, in that fellowship, that bond, that unity, that oneness. We shouldn't. The only thing we owe one another, saints, is to love. I owe you nothing else but love. You owe me nothing else but to love me. But when we allow the enemy to go unchecked, to flourish within us, or sometimes, you know, we're just in our flesh. You know, that old nasty carnal mind, carnal man, that's enmity against the Most High Yah. You know, it's hard to obey the Most High when you're walking after the flesh. What's the word say? You live after the flesh, you'll die. So you're abiding in death now. Because it's all about you. It's all in you. Your, our own little selfish little kingdoms. And at the same time, while we stand on our little goat hill, we die. Or we're dead already. You know, we're the only people that have dual natures. We can be in the spirit, or we can walk after that sin nature. So let's always put on Christ. Put on Jesus. And walk in him. Because it's in him we live and move and have our being. Not in ourselves, but in him. And when Jesus comes, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. That scripture always comes to my mind. That anytime I find myself, let's say, not being in the abundance. Father, where have I sinned? Where have I left you at? Where did I break covenant? Or stop fellowship? What have I done? Not what everybody else has done, but what have I done? What has Doug done? What's hindering me from walking with you? What's hindering my walk? What's hindering my growth? You know, a lot of us, sometimes, you know, something that's common amongst us, Holy Spirit feels things. Oh, man, yeah, I ain't feeling you like I'm supposed to, like I used to. You know, it ain't always about the feeling, don't get me wrong, because Satan can even use that to deceive us. But that true fellowship with the Spirit, we all know what it is. So the Most High is not communing with us. You know, we gotta look to see where we left him. Where have I broken off from him? You know, I want to hold to his hand. Y'all's unchanging hand. Did I let go? Did he let go of me? What happened, Father? Why is my fellowship broken? What happened? But you know what I'm saying? He's not the one that's in question. If there's something missing with your relationship or you know, you're feeling that void there, look to see what maybe you sinned. Were you forsaken him? Were you disobeyed his word? What are you not doing that Father's trying to let that separation come to show you that he's not pleased? Having to withdraw himself. And then once we start hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, seeking him, then we finally find him, they were, you know, once we start getting our hearts right, he'll be able to show us where we did err so he can correct us and get us back on track. But, you know, a lot of times I found the most times when I felt separated from the Most High is when I lacked in my relationship with him in love for my brothers and sisters, where I've held a grudge, held some bitterness over something stupid, just being fleshly and calm. It's like, man, Father, you know, what is going on? Because most of the time your thoughts are just focused and keyed around you, around your little world. Because you're mad about this, mad about that. Because why? Because your little kingdom is not getting what it wants. Well, I don't like the fact that we have granola for breakfast 2 days a week. I want cream of wheat. I want pancakes. I want eggs. I want turkey bacon. And then I want steak and fried chicken for dinner every day of the week. Then I'm going to dining hall, look at the calendar in the kitchen. We got a calendar thing up there on the board. I think it has like 2 weeks of the menu or something like that. I might be wrong, but I know some of the menus on it. Anyway, so I go in the kitchen to see that menu. God damn it! We have this biscuits and gravy again? Say that for emphasis now, thanks. No, I don't want that. I don't want hash browns and grits. Hey, you used to be content and eat what's set before you. But you got that murmuring spirit working in you? That's what you need to do. You know, there's been, thanks, Sister Kena, 2 weeks. All right, hallelujah. I'll tell you, I've been many times going there for we haven't eaten. Oh, well, that's not my favorite, but you know what I've always have done? I'm not going to despise the table that the Most High has provided, his provisions. It ain't my favorite that we have, which I think is something, Chinese food. But you know what? When I sit my butt down, I'm going to be grateful and give thanks to the Most High. Yeah. Hallelujah, Father. You fed me. Your table is good. Thank you. This is my green pasture you let me in. You let me feast here. You let me eat here. I'm going to be content with such things as you have provided me, such things as I have. What good does that complaining and murmuring do? Then the cook feel bad because she hear you over there bitching about the food. said, well, you know, I did my best to cook the food. Well, it's this, it's that. And that, well, ain't nothing wrong with it. She hears everybody else giving the food praise, but he, your sour disposition, looking at her, glaring at her because you're so foul, just because your flesh didn't like something. Well, hey, that dining hall is a good place to crucify. Eat everything that you don't like. At least that way you can kill that evil spirit in you from speaking out of it. Hallelujah. Just use that as an example. What you think of something that gets your flesh all riled up? Where it gets you that disobedient spirit towards the Most High? Defying Him. Despising Him. And then you wonder, well, Father, how come I don't have that sweet fellowship? Man, how come nobody want to be around me? Well, are you like a damn porcupine? Nobody can even touch you. All bristled up, when somebody touch you, boom, got bit. Or, got that, get pricked. Like, come on. It ain't hard. It's not hard at all. You know, but that's what the community living. You know, it's there to help crucify your flesh. And there's nothing wrong with your flesh being crucified. Hey, my flesh don't like being crucified. Nobody's flesh like being crucified. But hey, that's the way the Most High chose to help us. So let's just deal with it. And you don't necessarily have to be crucified, have your flesh just crucified on community either. You can do that while y'all, you know, things that live in homesteads or just living in the city still. You can still work on taming your flesh, not giving it everything you want. You know, when that alarm clock go off, stop hitting that snooze button. Get your butt up. You know, everybody's been guilty of that. And I tell you, man, I don't want to get up. And I think he's Moshe, my son Moshe. He's the hardest one to get up most of the time in the morning. So I start waking him up. Hey, start crying. Boy, get up. Come on, man. Wake up. I didn't give him enough sleep. That. Excuse me. He's like, I didn't get enough sleep, Daddy. I said, well, you should have went to bed up. You should have stayed up talking with your brother. Go to sleep. But now it's time to get up. And he'll whine, and finally he'll just, yeah, he'll shake himself and he'll get going. But it's, you know, but even at that age, trying to teach him to crucify his flesh. Like, come on, son, let's go. But hallelujah. So the children do learn from our examples as well too, and they learn from our examples in the home. You know, these children, they're little recorders. You know, they see everything mommy and daddy do, hear everything you say. And a lot of you can tell what's going on in the home just by how the children act. You got an evil eye towards somebody, or you been speaking evil to somebody, hey, they will tell on you. But let's make sure we're being good examples to our children and not stumbling blocks. Teaching them to love. Teaching them to get it right when they make mistakes, too. So that way they can, you know, they learn the ways of the Most High from us. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. Well, I like that comment, Sister Zakina. Okay, that's a quote. I got it. Hallelujah. But the enemy works on deceiving us and using anything he can to have an avenue. But if he can deceive us to be able to get an entrance, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And that brings us to, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 6, Brother Josh, we'll post them in. And I'm going to go ahead and read. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Yah said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For Yah doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And this is the other part where he gets us. First, he gets to talking to him. That's mistake number one. That will get us talking to him. then he shows us the temptation. Well, he gives us the talk, you know, just the temptation part. He gives us talking, and then shows us what we want. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's go back up here. And when the woman saw the tree that was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, right there, it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, I like the way that looks. And to be desired, and I want that. See? She got hooked. And, you know, when you see that, that's pretty much the pathway for all of a lot of the sins that we all fall into, fall prey to. Let's talk about pornography. A lot of people dealing with or bondage to a lot of sexual sins. Like masturbation and that, you know, everything. They're watching the pornography, masturbating and whatever. But, you know, that's a visual stimulant. And it's everywhere on the internet. A lot of people got, you know, all these other kind of hookup sites too, I guess, nowadays with the, I don't know what, but I can't think of some of that stuff at the moment. Hold on. I was going to say Instagram, but I meant like, what is that thing? Now some of these dating apps. Dang it. OnlyFans. I knew it was something I'd heard about, you know. I mean, a lot of women make a lot of money off of that, too. I don't think got something where men do shit like that. Okay, but God's saying Tinder. Okay, all this internet, you know, all this technology is definitely made it easier to sin for man. That's for sure, for mankind, to have access to sin at the click of a mouse. And I tell you things too. If you got children, you better make sure you watch what they're doing on that computer. You know, train them that when ads come on, don't look at the screen. Get away from them. Or just make sure you're watching what they watch. If you ain't in there, then, you know, make sure you know what they got on the TV and make periodic checks. You know, especially depending on what these social computers can, I guess you can set and block pornography and stuff like that. Like, what was it, filters or whatever you can put on it? I don't know, but but I guess for like pornography sites. But, you know, just something like that. Either way, you make sure you're watching your children. When it comes to that, especially because the devil's definitely looking to get in their minds. And that reminds me, too, because one time we had got a couple of VH tapes, VCR tapes, and TikTok, too. Yes, sir. Tell you, boy. Plus, you know, these phones, boy, these little pocket computers, boy, these are definitely the pathway of a lot of sin for people, you know, because it's portable. Put it in your pocket. If you had to sit at home, you might not do it so much because somebody might catch you. But you are easy to get off in the corner somewhere with your cell phone and get involved in all kinds of wicked. Yeah, anyway, we had this VCR tape we got. My wife picked up at the thrift store or something that had, I forgot what it was. It might have been one of the movies with dogs and stuff, like Homeward Bound or something like that. I'm not sure which one it was. But anyway, in that one, you know, me and the boys were watching it, and finally got to the end, and I guess somebody had, whoever previously owned it or whatever, had copied something on there. Now, it wasn't like pornography, but it was some game show. They still, but it was still, you know, half naked women and men and stuff on it. Nothing. The boys are kind of like, what's that? And I quickly turn the TV off. And I tell them, hey, I tell my wife, hey, for now, before we play any tapes, let them watch any tapes. We gotta watch them all the way through to the end, or just watch them all the way through. Make sure there's nothing recorded on there that it could be they slip something in on. You know, so just you know, we got to be definitely got to be sober and diligent, and making sure we're paying attention to what the you know what we bring into the house, and make sure we do I guess call I'll say do a clean check on, especially VCR tapes. At least I learned that one that day. Like, okay, got to make sure I review these things all the way through. Now I'm gonna get caught in the trap myself either. I'm going to protect my children. I'm going to protect my eyes, too. You know, because the eyes is the gateway. And that's like that with this pornography stuff. And people get hooked so quick. As a matter of fact, I remember the first time when I, my first experience seeing pornography. That's not a mistake. No, I was young. I don't know if it was a magazine somebody, you know, either one of the older boys had, and of course, you know, the young boys hanging around, caught a glimpse or something, glimpse of a page or two, or that they decide just to, you know, hold it down so the little guys, you know, the younger boys can see it, and, you know, just something simple as that. You know, you've been in the city, you got heathen neighbors, or your heathen family, you know, I mean, not just heathen neighbors, but you know, but in my experience, it was my my older brother and one of his buddies, something like that. I mean, I can't even really say who, but I did have. But after that, I remember I had a friend of mine, the guy I worked with. You know, we had become good friends. We'd hang out all the time, and I remember the first time I ended up coming to his house, and we'd hang out in his bedroom, and this guy, he had. I'm not lying. I'm in El Becca's office right now. And he's like, no, my friend's room was bigger than this office. Yeah, it had to be. Yeah, it was bigger than, probably twice as big as, maybe half, maybe my foot on Elder's office. It's about the size of his room. In every corner, this, you know, beside his bed, every table, he had stuff everywhere. I'm like 18. I was like 18 or 19 when I was working. You know, when I met him, when I was working with him. But he had stuff. Yeah, he had. I mean, every magazine that you could name. I don't want to give out all those names. But for the pure who don't know, I don't want to put it out there for them. They'll find them if they find them. The magazines. Like playing cards and stuff on them. Well, I was like, man, I finally asked him, man, dude, where'd you get all this stuff? And I remember, and I remember, even as a heathen back then, I said, man, this is just disgusting, bro. You know, I didn't say bro to him, but you know, his name was Ted. I was like, man, Ted, damn, you got so much stuff, man. I mean, you know, to come in this room and sit down, you have to move like a ton of magazines or file some cards, and yeah, I was, you know, I ain't saying I'm innocent, thanks God, you know, I would look at him, but this, you know, he had an addiction. I mean, to me, that was a serious, a stronghold he had. You know, he was addicted to that stuff, far as you know, he's looking at it like that. I don't know if he had movies. No, he didn't have videos. At least if he did, you know, he didn't watch them while I was there. But yeah, that guy had so much stuff, and it was just like, my goodness. You know, like how much is enough? You know, I'll never forget his collection. But bringing all that up, I look at, you know, I'm not sure where his exposure was, where he got into it. I mean, his parents were, his father was Catholic and his mother was Jewish. But, you know, they didn't care what their son did. You know, of course, he would even, you know, brag about being Jewish and all that here and there. And I hung out with him and another Jewish guy, too. And I'm going to tell you, this guy was the biggest heathen in the world. I mean, I was just, you know, just heathen, you know, shooting. Let me tell you. Not everybody, I guess they were, must have been secular Jews or something. I'm not sure how. Anyway, they were just as wicked as I was. They professed their religion of the Most High at the time or whatever. But damn, they were just as heathen as could be. Not only with the other Jewish guy, I don't think he was in the pornography, but everything else, he was, you know, just as ungodly as anybody else, you know. And of course, we know about them Jews. Revelations. Synagogue of Satan. We'll just leave it at that. So, but going back to the pornography, I'm not sure what his interest was. I never asked him when he, you know, interviewed him and asked him why he got into that. But you know, I'm sure it might have been there as a child. He could have seen something more than he got older and just got into it. You know, he was older, you know, man, interested in women stuff. So, but you know, but the thing is with that pornography though, well, once you get that doorway, that exposure, you can start looking for it everywhere. You know, out in the cities, what stores and all that kind of stuff for that. Where you can easily go get magazines, videos, and all that. But now, there's, like I say, early, you don't even have to go to that. Just click on the internet. Go to Pornhub or something, My Porn, and find that stuff. And so you got to be careful of the eye gate. Saying all that, just you got to be careful of our eye gate. Because that devil, he knows, the pleasure to the eyes. Tree to be desired to make one wise. Using that temptation to get you. And unfortunately, a lot of you brothers out there love it. And you sisters, too. You know, I'm amazed at how many women watch porn or into it. Or have an addiction. And, you know, of course, need to get free from it. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. You're bound in it. Get free. This is a deliverance message. Get free. Get your freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, because that's something, you know, why stay bound? You don't have to. You know, it's sin like anything else. And then, you know, I talk to a lot of brethren who are, some who have been delivered from masturbating, and they, No, there wasn't any sisters on that. My wife may have, hadn't really talked to her about that. Not going to either, but, you know, but helping a lot of the brethren get free. And, you know, they come talk and say, man, I can't stop. You know, it's one thing that the word might not say, you should not masturbate or not watch porn. Now, you got liberty to do a lot of things. People might even promise you liberty. But then they make you a servant of corruption, and you got bondage. Because you're doing this or that, you can't stop watching pornography, and you can't stop masturbating. And then you say, well, somebody said, well, it ain't a sin. Well, how clean do you feel after you're done? As you get done masturbating, can you lift up your holy hand, say, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah? Hell no. I'm going to say it for you. Hell to the no. Put them defiled hands down. Go wash your hands. Because we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Most High. And I'll tell you, if it makes you hesitate to be able to lift up holy hands or be able to present your body to Him holy and acceptable, you already know you're wrong. But even at that, when you know you, for those who use that as their liberty, use it. Use it as your liberty. You can do what you want. But then when you realize you got bondage, you have to do some acknowledging somewhere that's a sin for you. But, you know, and I always gave this example, talking to brother, we're talking about masturbation. I think it was
Well, anyway, let's say some heathen comes to you. Hey, man, can Jesus deliver me from masturbating? Or they ask you, is it sin? No, brother, it ain't a sin because I do it. What a damnable testimony that would be. That person come want deliverance, but you got the same problem he got. Now you can call it sin because you're doing it. While you saying, I'm a Hebrew, give honor to the Most High. But you're damn shame when somebody comes to you for help from that, and you just as bound as the heathen out there. They said, well, I thought Jesus cast out devils. You, I know it's the devil in me, but you can justify the devil in you in that area. But I told the brother when we were talking, and after all that, we had a conversation about some of the doorways and stuff. And I started questioning them, asking them, but what about the doorways to that for you? When did you first get exposed? And I think he told me, and he started thinking, he's seeking to get deliverance too. That's the reason why we had the whole conversation. And as we were talking, when I asked him that question, he's like, I don't know. Then boom, he started getting, the Holy Spirit started bringing it to him, ministering to him while we're there, showing him every instance with stuff. To his mama, being with men, him, excuse me, him in the room, young, seeing them get together. To his another person that was in his life, same thing. The woman that watched him, same thing. And then he got into, then he got caught up in the pornography and other stuff. And he ain't the only person out there. That particular brother and his other brother got some of the same similar stories. Or some people got into when they got in the military, that kind of thing. Some of the instances I've seen it at some parties I was at, shoot. Now that I think about it, some of the people I hung out with, they're watching porn, smoking crack, doing coke, and smoking weed, all of the same. I'm like, man, good God. And I'll never forget this when they smoked that crack. They came out of that room so dumb and paranoid. They all came running to the windows, peeking out the cracks of the windows, stuff. And I'm like, man, I got to get out of here. I'm out, y'all. Bye. Watching them peek out the windows, just freaking out, man. Making me feel some kind of way. I got to get out of here. I don't know what's in that damn crack, but I damn sure don't want none of it. If you're around friends in that lifestyle, they're going to offer you anything and everything. Just to see if you're going to take it. And I was never really, I never did drugs and stuff. So, when I didn't want to, after seeing them, well, damn sure they didn't want none. I was like, if I was tempted, they killed all the temptation for that. But I was still wicked too now. Don't get me wrong. I was just, because I wasn't doing that, I was just as wicked as they were. I was still, partaking them and all the other things they would do, running the excess of riot. Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. but anyway, so I was talking to the brother, right? And the Holy Spirit was ministering to him, showing him all those doorways. And what I had him do, I said, man, brother, you need to renounce those things. If they're coming to you, since you asked, the Holy Spirit's showing you, go ahead and renounce those things. And get the freedom from that. And one other thing I told him too, that let's break the soul ties and retrieve the fragments of your soul that's attached to everything that you looked at and watched and stuff. As you can remember, and the Holy Spirit brings it to you down the road, do that and continue to take away the legal ground Satan has to keep you bound. And the brother was great. The brother was very appreciative of that. So, hallelujah.
But anyway, so y'all good. The saints, I really just want to make sure we are being aware that the enemy is always seeking to get us, though, seeking to snare us in any kind of way. Any kind of way. So, you know, so know your enemy is really what I'm trying to say. The moral of the story, know your enemy. Know your enemy. And don't worry, he knows you. You got the testimony of Jesus. You got a big old target on your back. He knows you, and he's looking to snare you. And like Pastor said, he's looking to get you back, make you put you as a trophy on his mantelpiece. The devil wants you to come back home, bring you back to his kingdom. And now there's war. If you're in the kingdom of Yah and fighting against the kingdom of Satan, they're like, well, excuse me. So the devil wants to have you as his booty of war. In more ways than one. So hallelujah. Let's go to James chapter 4 real quick, Brother Josh. James chapter 4, verse 7. And it reads, submit yourselves therefore to Yah. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you got to submit. I mean, you have to obey the Most High. And then you can resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So make sure we're walking in order, saints. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go back to let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 again. And let's read this one more time. Start at verse 10, Josh. We'll just read all the way to verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Master and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching down too with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we got all the equipment, all the armor. We would equip with the armor and the weapons that we need to overcome our enemy. We don't have to be snared by them, trapped by them, bound by them. We then use all the tools at our disposal, you know, to get free and to stay free. Hallelujah. All right, saints, that's all I have for you tonight. I'm going to stop there. But let's make sure let's strive for holiness, saints. Let's strive for the righteousness. Be holy. Be like the Most High. Walk as Jesus walked. And be examples and be the light in this generation that we're walking in. You know, seeing that we are the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Let's make sure we're not walking as the heathen, and let's make sure our light is shining. So they know there's a difference between us and them. But that we will minister, but that we are ministers to them as well, too, though. So they can see the difference, but maybe we can minister them an interest as well, too. As we have been received mercy, we can also extend it to them if
if they can humble themselves as well to the Most High and receive his salvation. Hallelujah. All right, thanks. Well, I thank you all for being here tonight. Hope you all were edified in some way. And remember, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And just make sure it's not you. Put on your armor and stand your ground, because there's no armor for the back. So don't run away from the enemy. You submit yourself to Yah, resist him, and he will resist the devil, and he will flee from. Hallelujah. Well, thanks. Make sure you all keep the man of Yah in your prayers. Keep him lifted up. Because the enemy is always seeking to smite the shepherd. So let's make sure we keep Pastor Dollar lifted up, Pastor Corey, Pastor Daniel, all the leaders, all the elders, and most definitely pray for one another. Hallelujah. And I do thank you for being with me tonight. Appreciate you all, saints.